Welcome everyone, Matt here, and so excited to be talking about something special this holiday season. Joining me as always is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Ho, ho, no you didn't, Matt, think that our listeners were not going to get a gift in their stocking or for their A Crazy Nights or whatever it is you celebrate. Okay, here today to talk about the LEGO Star Wars Holiday Special, canonically the best Star Wars special of all time.
Undoubtedly the best Star Wars special of all time. Pete, I suspect that you mentioned canon a bit tongue-in-cheek. I'm interested to see, as we explore the LEGO Star Wars Holiday Special, does this admittedly non-canonical story, does it actually improve recent entrants into Star Wars canon?
Well, I think that the big thing right off the bat that digs at that is this concept that Finn is being trained by Rey. And I love that that carried over from the Rise of Skywalker, that they didn't ignore it. Yeah, this is a tongue-in-cheek, you know, I can't imagine back-breaking to have made special. It is light. It is the right time to do this. Plus, you get your Lando, you get your Mando, you get all your favorite characters as LEGO minifigs. You draw the comparisons, the allusions, again tongue-in-cheek, to that original holiday special with the Wookiees. And if people are looking, Matt, they can certainly check out our take on that on patreon.com. Having recorded that, what was that, a couple years ago, we did that one.
And I want to say, Pete, we're always happy to share with listeners. We're always happy to make Patreon exclusives. By the end of that 90-minute commentary track for the scarily terrible 1978 holiday special, like, that was a slog. Like, at a certain point, it's like, oh boy, gotta keep talking. It's a commentary track. Right. Now we're gonna do more laser disco, I guess. And
you could never do 11 minutes of Lego Wookiees talking about Life Day without subtitles. And just tangentially, there is a documentary coming of the Star Wars special, which I'm sure we will check out and weigh in on at some point.
Where's that coming from? Like, is that a Disney Plus Lucasfilm, or is that an
independent thing? No. It is a outside of the parent corporation type of thing. Because you got to remember, Lucas has... And they talk about that. There is a trailer out there, he tried to buy the negative and like kill it and everything like that from CBS. But steering it back to LEGO Star Wars, I mean, I've long been a player of those games. You are a LEGO guy. I'm a regular action figure type of dude. And, we have a new Skywalker Saga game. It's been pushed back a little bit, obviously, from COVID, like everything else. But, this feels like a warm-up for that as well.
Yeah, and I think because of the nature of the storytelling of this LEGO special, you can sit back and have fun. All the fandoms, especially Star Wars and Star Trek, have the love-hate relationship. And not just because this is animated, because it's LEGO animation, that you can have fun and there can be deep character cuts and there can be character growth and things like that. But you also know, pun intended or not, I don't know, but that your childhood does not depend on this, that you can just sit back, enjoy yourself, and enjoy a good old Star Wars yarn.
And what I really appreciated, what some people have tried to deride, but that's kind of the toxicity of some Star Wars fans or people who refer to themselves still as Star Wars fans, that you had a mix of both returning voices. You got Billy Dee and you've got Anthony Daniels, and then scarily good, I thought that was Daisy Ridley. I thought that was Oscar Isaacs. I thought that was John Boyega until checking out the credits.
Well, and John Boyega also kind of famously not going to take that Disney Plus money.
Right.
Shall we say, Pete, slightly more mature performers, your Billy Dee Williams, your Anthony Daniels, etc. No.
Kelly Marie Tran. I mean, come on, back as Rose here. Even though it's one line of dialogue, you get Matt Lanter, you get Anakin from the Clone Wars to reprise his voice in this. And you know, it's easy. This is an animated production, and you know, though that game that I continue to salivate of all nine of the Skywalker saga films, and there's going to be all sorts of additional Mandalorian content and Rebels and all this other stuff coming with it, you know, they come together quick, but at the same time, there's so much there. You know, like I said, this feels like an outgrowth of it. It'd be interesting to know, like, how separated the process of doing the game and doing the special are.
Yeah, and certainly, I know we've been in LEGO game convention presentations and press presentations where they, you know, they are fully invested in the game that they're making. They're fully invested. I think it was some of the LEGO Avengers stuff that we've seen at New York Comic Con. And, you know, they have a real sense of, this is what we want to recreate shot for shot. This is what we want to set up the same as the original property and then take it in a funny direction. Here's how we want to reinterpret the sad scene of whatever and turn it into the same dialogue, but now it's silly because, you know, it's not the Wampa getting its arm cut off. It now, you know, it has a balloon animal in its hand, not its arm cut off. Just things like that where it's separating from the main thing. And you just saw that here in this holiday offering where it's silly when it needs to be silly.
I mean, right from the get-go, that Star Wars on Disney Plus, essentially Star Wars TV, now has this little introduction, much like the Marvel title card, and that they legified it right from the get-go got me. And then adding Rey with the X-Wing helmet a la Rise of Skywalker, you know, you seamlessly go from that adventure to this adventure. And I have to tell you, I think it really held up. I mean, are there times, you know, the stuff with the Emperor felt a little robot chickeny? I felt like I was watching that a little bit. It's ironic we're recording this now, a day after one of the abandoned Star Wars Detours episodes was leaked. I had a chance to watch it. Matt, had you had a chance to check it out just yet?
Not yet. I have to admit, I was aware of Star Wars Detours, but Yeah, I mean, the reason I suspect it was scrapped was because it was taking this satirical look at Star Wars, albeit through animation, which might sound like some of the LEGO stuff, but, you know, not to repeat the point, I think the difference with the difference with the presentation here and with a lot of the cutscenes in the LEGO Star Wars games and even some of the LEGO Star Wars kind of animated stuff that's out there is they know when they're playing it serious and they know when they're playing it silly, and none of it is making fun. It's just like, this might be the Star Wars that a five-year-old loves the most when they're five, so we're not going to do the scariest thing out there. We're not going to do Luke's hand gets cut off. You know, it's, you know, that's when it's the return to the silly and Darth Vader hits him with the lightsaber and now Luke is holding a giraffe or, you know, something like that. Right. And it knows when it's being silly. Whereas my take from Detours is that it's a little bit more sassy.
I was surprised how much I appreciated. But I remember when they announced that, I mean, that was pre-merger, that was pre-purchase from Disney of Star Wars, kind of like All right, what are we doing now? Well, we'll do a digital comedy, stylized, super stylized. I mean, the voice cast in that episode that's out is pretty interesting. And like I said, I appreciate it far more than I didn't, but I remember cringing physically watching the clips. I mean, they apparently produced 2 seasons, 39 episodes. And remember, like I said, introducing it, that episode is 7 minutes. So, all right, you're not talking about a tremendous investiture, and it is Lucasfilm. So they're doing all right, Matt. I'm here to tell you in 2020, they're gonna make it. But coming back to Lego Star Wars here, always with the nod, it can be sweet, it can be silly, like you said, and that's what makes it really good for kids. They know when to not take it into the more serious, nay, scary portions of those stories. And just appreciating too the cuts that they get at, whether it is, okay, we're going to make this kind of like a storybook for, children at a holiday time of the year, that you bring Yoda into doing this, wise to keep the life day motif going from the thing that shalt not be talked about by Lucasfilm. So it gets that, and that they green lit it, that it's garnered enough of that reputation through the year, through the years, I should say. Could I have done without the introduction of time travel into my beloved Star Wars? Something that, Rebels has done a little bit of. I could have. But for the tone and tenor of what you get in this special, and enabling you to get a quick, all right, Mandalorian's a big hit in the last year. We've got to make sure we got to get the child. We've got to get Mando in there real quick, and to do that, to throw in some Clone Wars, I think it all checks out.
Yeah, and I think insofar as, one plotting out the story of this is going to be open to the silly route in order to do a greatest hits of Star Wars. Yeah, time travel is the easiest way to do it, and that's how you can get in, that's how you can get out, an unpredictable time travel thing, then lets scenes be as long or short as you need them to be, and again, this not being treated as sacred text lets you just say, we're going to do a weirdo time crystal, and we're going to time hop as we need to time hop and visit who we need to visit, and it leads to this fun mishmash as they jump through time.
I mean, the day after David Prowse has passed away here, to be talking about two Darth Vaders coming into contact with one another on Hoth, and the hilarity that ensues there, and maybe the best moment of this special, tells you the long-lasting appeal of these characters.
Yeah, and I think ultimately that's the job here is whether you came up with the original trilogy or the prequel trilogy or the sequel trilogy, whatever it is that takes you back to childhood, including Pete, if you can imagine such a thing as actual children watching this, it's going to serve all those audiences. So, to get Anakin Skywalker, perhaps not literally side by side with Maz Kanata, but to have that, to have representatives from all three of the trilogies, that's kind of the bread and butter there, and you just have fun with it along the way.
And they don't hold back. I mean, Star Wars does not often, I can't even really think ever, Matt, poke fun at itself. Like the original holiday special, you have to essentially pirate that. You can't buy it anywhere. The Ewok specials, not on Disney Plus, okay? They're they're nowhere near as maligned and definitely not as awful. They're still pretty bad. And I remember watching them on TV and going like, man, I think they made a mistake here.
And I would add to that that I know that the 1978 holiday special was not kind of part and parcel a Lucasfilm production. It was not this internal production, let's say, the way there was the attempt for Empire Strikes Back to just make the whole thing absolutely independently with no studio other than Lucasfilm, and financially they ultimately couldn't, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, which is to say, I know CBS had a large hand in this, but I think even then, the holiday special was made earnestly. It just happened to have been made very, very poorly with weird, rushed decisions as they tried to cobble together this variety hour, ultimately, you know, 2 hours with commercials, of singing and this and that, the other, but none of it was meant to be silly. You know, the Wookiee right. stuff was, I think, was meant to be, hey, it's the same as now. What do the kids like? The Star Wars. What if we did Star Wars Alien Jr.? That will be cute. I mean, Pete, they were Baby Yoda.
They love that cantina scene, you know, because all the kids in their cantinas. Let's do a bunch of that.
You know, so again, I think it's all treated seriously. It's just poorly done in the 78 special. So I would agree, like, this is one of the rare times, and to be fair, again, kind of the Lego Star Wars intersection, the games, the Lego Star Wars animated stuff, which I have not seen much of, but I've seen enough to tell you it's silly and goofy and great if you're under 10. Otherwise, you might prefer watching slightly more amateur Star Wars. but it's only in Lego Star Wars where there is that outright kind of, you know, not making fun of Star Wars, but that outright just, you know, having fun with Star Wars.
It's the glee of it. And again, that it can be self-deferential, self-deprecating. And, you know, to have Kylo Ren with the shirt off and to have some fun with it. Like, that's not happening anywhere else. Like, when that blew up at Christmas 2017 as a meme and Ben Swolo and all of that, you know, that was its own thing, but it was done like, all right, we're going to make fun of this because it's in a serious scene, even though, yeah, Rey says to him, you know, can you put a cowl on or something? And to play around with it here and back to the Lego, whether it's the games, whether it's even the toy property, you know, kids have grown up. I grew up with Lego. You grew up with Lego. Lego was on death's door in the 90s. And if not for, oh, all right, kids don't want to play with the space Lego set. If only there was some kind of Star Wars out there to license. Like, that was the big deal, 99. Okay, now Lego does Star Wars. And, you know, here we are 21 years later, the biggest toy company in the world. It is in a serious part because of Star Wars.
I know that certainly in the 2000s, Lego had maybe over-licensed stuff in general, and they had to find the right mix, because late 2000s, the company was again not looking good. But once they found that mix, now things are perfect. Maybe not perfect, but things are great. And I know that Lego takes a lot of pride in being able to say that only in Lego are your DC and your Marvel and your Star Wars and your Lego Friends and everything is interchangeable, in a way where, all right, fine, there's the vaunted, you know, late 70s, early 80s action figure size so that, you know, Star Wars can play with G.I. Joe, but it wasn't necessarily meant to be 100% interchangeable. Lego is super proud that you can go out and get your, you know, Lego Mandalorian, and it can sit aside your Phantom Menace toys and interact with them just as equally in terms of fitting in the, you know, in the vehicles and all that.
Have you seen the Chernobyl Lego trailer, Matt?
I have not. Is that internal or is that fan made? I suspect it's probably
fan made. This is fan made, but it speaks to what you're talking about, and that's been a thing for a couple years now, you know, particularly with the big trailer drops to, you know, each of the films in the sequel trilogy, oh, somebody redoes it with the Star Wars Lego sets. But somebody, and it actually happened around the time the tremendous and just, you know, terrifying Chernobyl miniseries on HBO came out, you know, 18 months ago, you know, spring of 2019, and someone took their trailer and did it with Lego figures, and it's brilliant. And they even wind up incorporating Star Wars. They use the snowtroopers as people who are headed into the reactor.
Oh wow!
They use one of the Russian party officials is an Imperial officer. It's priceless and definitely worth your time. Craig Mazin, who ran and wrote that show. A guy from not very far from where we're recording right now, grew up in Freehold, New Jersey, and went to Harvard, got his big break. Matt, directing, writing, directing, Scary Movie 2.
Okay, hey.
Okay, got him in, and then he produces this, you know, Emmy runaway in Chernobyl. And he was the guy, he's done a lot of podcasts as well. He was the guy that the official Chernobyl podcast, and he was on with Damon Lindelof for Watchmen. And he was a guy I saw a tweet out, you know, it had been some time since the series aired, and then tweeting out that Lego trailer and just how in awe of it he was.
And I think that just speaks to all of this kind of rumination on Lego just speaks to the natural crossroads of Lego and Star Wars to produce something like this. As mentioned, there already is, you know, there's a Lego animation unit. I'm assuming if not doing at least previously doing kind of TV Lego Star Wars stuff, but I'm assuming for Disney Channel or Disney XD, something like that, then also doing the cutscenes for the Lego Star Wars games. The timelessness of Lego toys and the timelessness of Star Wars, and then that tone that they already have nailed down, I suspect it probably was a fairly easy pitch, because it wasn't like, wait, who are these outsiders who want to, you know, take on this questionable thing, the Star Wars Holiday Special. No, just to kind of to come in there with the right tone, the right sense of pace, and I mean, I feel like it was... Was it a story oriented a bit more towards children? Absolutely. But I feel that, you know, it was a rich story, and at moments where maybe if it was going on a little bit too long, then it was about to be rewarded with, you know, more great cameos or more great crisscrosses or more great jokes.
Yeah. And it moves quickly. I would argue it's slightly longer than maybe it should be. At 48 minutes, but it scratches the itch. And, you know, for this long history of and most of it unspoken and in the shadows of the Star Wars Holiday Special, to do one on their streamer here with Disney Plus, you can overlook some of the places where maybe it goes a little long or it goes maybe a little too far. All right. Does Poe need to be the brunt of a million jokes and this obsession with, you know, making space turkey and things like that? No, but then you don't get great references like Zori Bliss showing up and finally getting a kiss there, and carbonite frozen what's the space turkey called, the tibyip. It's cute stuff, and to set it on the Falcon, to, you know, have the Wookiees, Yoda in the strange elf costume at the end, I mean, it's all good, man. It's a holiday special,
and of course it's got to be set on the Falcon. I mean, that's probably the most iconic set from all of Star Wars, and obviously, you know, used in six of the movies. Let alone, Pete, if you're there at, you know, if you're there at Disney overseeing everything, you go, well, wait, now we get the Lego Millennium Falcon. We get the Lego Millennium Falcon in this special. Probably as they were making it, they had no idea that there might be a little downturn at going to see the quote-unquote real Millennium Falcons in Anaheim and Orlando. But, you know, Pete, hopefully that is a temporary problem. And, you know, this time next year, it'll be, oh man, can you imagine watching the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special, playing with your Lego Millennium Falcon, then going to ride the ride at one of the two Disney parks?
The last couple days, it's not a new thing, but the Nintendo World in Japan, they're putting the final touches on it. And, you know, I know there's a Lego, there's several Lego lands, right? There's a couple of them on
I think maybe about five.
Yeah.
Across the globe, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is part of a commercial enterprise too. Like, you know, you're a little bit more up on the parks in terms of your enthusiasm than I am, and I say that as somebody who honeymooned at Disney World, you know, almost 20 years ago now, December, next month.
And Pete, who was in the hotel with you, other than, of course, your wife was in the hotel room, but who was in the same hotel as you during that stay?
I swear I wasn't even going to tell this story. George Lucas was. It was right after. So I got married December 30th. We got married December 30th, 2000. And in early January of 2001, we're at the Grand Floridian. And we went into the Mary Poppins themed restaurant there for breakfast, have a wonderful brunch. And the hostess just happens to sit us one table away from a man who suspiciously looks like George Lucas. And, you know, having been a professional sports reporter at the time, you know, covering the Yankees, the Giants, one of the things that happens when people aren't in uniform, unless they're like superstars, is you have this moment of, is that really somebody, or is this a coach? Is this even somebody else? Particularly depending on the amount of equipment and the lack of visibility of some of the staff. So, you know, here is a middle-aged, at that point, you know, slightly older, white dude wearing flannel with a beard, salt and pepper in Florida in January. It was brutally cold. There's pictures of my wife wearing mittens at the electric light parades the days we were in the park, because we did the second half on their cruise. And all right, didn't seem a stretch of the imagination that this is a guy who kind of looks like George Lucas, but he's there with one teenage girl. There's like a boy in his early mid-single digits, and I'm like, I think that's George Lucas. And, you know, Karen, my wife, she didn't miss a beat. She's like, well, you better do something about it. And I just could not be that guy. I did not want to interrupt his breakfast. And what were you going to do? Like, sign my lightsaber? I didn't have anything like that. I mean, I just would have liked to have thanked him. It was after episode one. He had taken it on the chin for Jar Jar and, you know, a lot of other things. And I just wanted to thank him for the childhood and all the memories. And, you know, particularly with where we are now, would have meant even more Mandalorian. And, you know, I love this sequel trilogy and Rogue One and even Solo. And it all sprang from him, even though he's not involved day to day anymore. So he got up, he walked right by me, let him go without saying anything. And the waitress came up, and I said, that was George Lucas, wasn't it? She was like, oh yeah, he's the nicest guy. He ate in here every day while he's been here, and he leaves today. And I was like, of course he does. And then I think she may have broken the law because she said, "Do you want to see his signature on the check?" And she showed me that. So, other than at one point applying for a job at Lucasfilm, a couple years later, that is probably as close as I'm ever going to get with George Lucas.
Well, certainly his force all over this Lego Star Wars special here, and though I don't know, I feel like George has a complicated relationship with Star Wars, even the Star Wars he made. But it's all part of that Star Wars legacy that will outlast him and dare say outlast us all.
And I think that's what people need to make their peace of. I mean, podcasting The Mandalorian and the films, we continually run into chuckleheads on social media. You know, if it's not Star Trek and that this isn't Gene's Trek, people should be standing at all times. It's like the latest controversy on Star Trek bridges. Like, stop. Okay. With Star Wars, I think Lucas knew it was time. He had this long-standing relationship with Disney. I think that Disney has been very reverential, and they know too. There was the biggest misstep they made was, let's release a solo movie that predates our other trilogy right after the middle movie of a current trilogy. And there was brand confusion. You know, Matt and I were fielding questions about why is Rey suddenly played by a different actress?
Yeah, I think that they misunderstood the success of the beginning of the sequel trilogy, and misunderstood that just because people love to go see generational Star Wars movies and these event movies, that doesn't mean that every person who goes is a huge Star Wars fan. It's going to be like, oh my goodness, did you see the reference to the one different faced protocol droid that only appeared in A New Hope for 5 seconds? They brought that back in the big, the Maz's Cantina scene. I noticed it all the way in the back. You didn't notice it? Well, when we go see the movie again tomorrow, you have to notice it. And yeah, brand confusion, etc. But I think here's been the positive. That forced Star Wars Incorporated to think outside the model of let's do a movie as often as possible. What else can Star Wars be? The Mandalorian, the forthcoming Star Wars TV shows, delayed as they may have been through either pre-production or COVID or both. But then add to it things like this Lego special, which certainly was presented with less fanfare. This was not kind of, Monday Night Football, and here's a special clip from the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special, but just to explore differently, how do you address Star Wars? How do you keep people excited about Star Wars? And how do you keep the audience, the future audience, how do you continue to grow them?
Because they're so very different. You know, Star Wars is not Marvel. You know, they're different animals. And yeah, they've done the Lego thing too with the games, and they've done, you know, some animation as well. But you know, you talk about the progenitor, you know, the property to make it about entertainment to that gamble that Lucas took with the merchandising rights, and then, you know, you gotta spend it to make it, putting all that back into the business and just constantly growing it. So, yeah, I mean, there is the commercial end of a film and merchandise empire. Like, that is part and parcel of it, far less so than like a Marvel, beginning with source material in the books, and then obviously coming to film and TV, and then this current iteration, Marvel Studios, really kind of recapturing rights and things like that. But Yeah, I mean, this dots all the I's, it crosses all the T's. It goes a little too far at times, but if you appreciate it for what it is, this is the type of thing that you could turn on as you're trimming the tree and have in the background. This is the type of thing that you could sit down with a 6-year-old and they can completely appreciate it. And I think it'll live on. Will they go back to this? I can't imagine that they will. You said that you've watched a little bit of some of the other specials and series and things like that. I haven't watched a one, and I'm a guy that will like go for anything Star Wars. I've seen all the shows. The one I've been a little slow with is Resistance. But what I've seen has definitely continued to improve, much like Clone Wars did, and aged up with its audience and Rebels as well.
Well, Pete, ever young at heart is, of course, our pal in this season of Saint Nicholas, a regular Saint Nick himself, Fred from the Netherlands, whose wise words we hear now.
Hello, Matt and Pete, and all listeners to Fantastic Geek. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for the LEGO Star Wars Holiday Special 2020. Funny it was. I never watched actually a LEGO movie, although not completely true. Once I was with my children in LEGO World, so it's not like Legoland, but it is in some big convention center or something like that, big halls where they do all kinds of LEGO stuff once a year, and you can travel from the whole of the Netherlands to such a manifestation. And they also played a LEGO film there. At these kind of manifestations, you see a lot of adult people who build really marvelous stuff. But for the children, it was always looking around, and then at a certain point, they had enough, and it was mainly going to the shop and getting some presents there. Actually, we did that several years in a row. Well, actually, they are now 17 and 19 and not into Lego at all. But Papa is, so my wife ordered a Mandalorian Laser Crest, and it already arrived, I know, which is a good thing because this COVID made that all kinds of building stuff and jigsaw puzzles are sold out. I don't know how that is in the US, but here many of that kind of stuff is easily sold out because people need some home entertainment. Women that say men are just big boys, they are really right. The beginning of the movie was quite special for me because currently I'm watching for the very first time Stargate SG-1, which also has this kind of portal gate. So this was very reminiscent of something else I'm watching at the moment. And the other thing, when Rey gets through and she falls in a puddle of mud or something like that, she loses her hair and she immediately puts up her hair again. I actually would want that. Well, I lost my hair already 25 years ago, just put it up like that again. Well, I think they have a name for that called a wig. Very nice idea to have a look at other Jedi masters training their apprentices. Last Mandalorian podcast, I was saying something about Kanan that has to be in every Star Wars movie, or at least in every 5 episodes of a Star Wars series. And fortunately, this LEGO holiday special really is Star Wars because it does have a canyon scene. Roasting your turkey or chicken or whatever bird you're going to cook using the engines of your spacecraft. Where did I see that before? Only it was not turkey, it was dragon meat. I like to see now and then real LEGO building blocks, which I recognize. Most of the time it's not there, but sometimes it's there. And especially if they use, let's say, spacecrafts, etc., it really looks like the LEGO models you can buy. Very nice, of course, was also a short shot of the Mandalorian with Grogu, aka the child, aka Baby Yoda. Okay, altogether it was a nice tribute to all kinds of Star Wars. Greetings, all the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Pete, all I know is Fred has has me interested in checking out Lego World. I know he is differentiating that from the Legoland theme parks. Post-COVID, I want to find... Pete, I think the time has come to I don't know, tie in more to the Lego fan community, you know, whether it's a small Lego convention or a big one. I don't know if Lego World, does it rotate spots? But all I know is Fred, much in the Star Wars spirit, he is the spark that has started the rebellion, and I want to learn more about Lego World.
The thing that has struck me with Lego, like the speed with which they turn around, and obviously because the bricks are pre-made, but newer content, like he mentions the Razor Crest, which I know you have as well. You know, that show came out a year ago. And what was it, July, August, you had your Razor Crest? Maybe September?
Yeah, I think it was the first week in September. So there is definitely... I think here's what happened for season one of The Mandalorian. They wanted stuff to be buttoned up so very, very tight that... they were willing to forego. I mean, we know this with the lack of Baby Yoda stuff, right, in the beginning.
Yeah.
They were willing to forego licensing stuff up front in order to keep the fidelity of the core thing. So, yeah, closer to season two, I got my season one toy, if you will. I know they did have the AT-ST Walker, which, to be fair, was largely a redress of existing Lego Walker stuff. Just changed some of the colors and put a Mando and put a Cara Dune in there.
It lends itself to turning around more quickly, unlike this clown over here that's laid out $350 for a Hasbro HasLab Razor Crest that maybe I'll see by next Thanksgiving.
Pete, as Fred implied here, there are layers to Legos, layers to Star Wars, layers to the Force. Indeed, Pete, layers to the very canyons with which Fred is now so aptly keeping track of when will the next canyon or canyon-like thing appear in order to allow heroes and villains to dip and dab this way and that.
Yeah, and, you know, whether on The Mandalorian, you know, we've seen it a bunch of times this season or in the movies, it is a tried-and-true trope. You come to expect it. So to think that you were going to get through the Lego special and not get one, come on.
Well, Pete, I'm so glad that we've been able to spend a little bit of time reflecting on the LEGO Star Wars special here and a little bit of time giving back to the great folks who support us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek. No, Pete, we won't do the whole spiel because guess what? Anybody listening to this, they've already gotten there. So thank you again.
Absolutely, Matt. Keeping the lights on around here, allowing us to check out this content and bring it to you. Want to give a big shout out to everybody that visits patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
So Pete, obviously if people want to talk about their reflections on the Star Wars Holiday Special, the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special, whatever it might be, how can they be in touch with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R, J-K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 11,711 followers, can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek. All one word with the P and the H. Like it today.
Well, Pete, our thanks again to everyone who supports us on Patreon. And certainly we look forward to continuing the podcast adventure. With that, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
Mary McClunkey.